The issues that matter most, right here. The Drew Mariani Show
on Relevant Radio.
Yes, I have a question about the Eucharistic Congress coming up. What is the most reasonable outcome a person could expect by going?
The goal, of course, would be that you, as an individual believer, a follower of Jesus, would draw ever closer to him by your experience at the Eucharistic Congress next year. It's also called the Eucharistic Revival. And the goal of it is to deepen and fortify and invigorate people's love for the Holy Eucharist. Jesus, of course, present.
It's the Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
As my colleague, Patrick Madrid, and he and I are both, along with a lot of my other colleagues, going to be present at the National Eucharistic Congress coming up in July. I hope you can join us. If you want more info, go to relevantradio.com. It's right there on the main page. You can be part of the Relevant Radio block. I think we have about 70 rooms left. I hope you can join us. It'll be awesome to hang out with everybody. And I know they're going to go quickly, and it'll be here before we know it. So check it out, relevantradio.com/indy or relevantradio.com or on the mobile app. I know they're making it available for everybody today. Hey, speaking of the Eucharist, the Eucharistic Congress and this incredible event that's going to be taking place in the country, God quite often reveals himself to us in very visible ways. They often occur during Eucharistic miracles. You know, people who travel to Lanciano, Italy, or they've ever seen a host bleed, you know, something that is often an act of faith on our part becomes very visible. You see the Lord and you recognize him being present, body, blood, soul, and divinity, substantially present there in the Eucharist. Audrey Santo, I was talking a little bit about her. She died yesterday, and her cause is underway. And I've invited the vice postulator for her cause to join me this afternoon. It's great to have with me Father Peter Joyce. He's working on the cause of for beatification and canonization. If you're not familiar with her story, when she was just three, she ended up face down at her pool, rushed to a local hospital, transferred to a larger one. She was injured even more than her near drowning, spent 19 years in a bed. She was really a victim soul in a lot of respect, completely dependent upon her family. But this little girl, those who called upon her intercession, asking her to pray for them, those who were present at the home, witnessed miracles, healings, conversions. There were statues that had wept and bled. Little Audrey, there was even, and Father's going to have to correct me on this, but my understanding, at least six Eucharistic miracles that took place. A friend of mine witnessed one. He was a filmmaker documenting, you know, the events that were happening there. Father Ubald, I believe, was credited with one. There was even a bishop. Father Joyce, thank you for being back here. And please clarify anything that I might have said that was not 100% accurate. How many Eucharistic miracles are there? I know everyone from bishops to priests to lay people have witnessed these.
Well, first of all, to clarify, I'm not the vice postulator. I am the bishop's liaison to the foundation for Audrey's canonization.
Perfect.
So my technical, I'm a priest for the Diocese of Worcester. As you mentioned earlier, I am a pastor in a local parish, and I'm appointed here by the bishop.
Perfect.
We know that there are at least seven that we are aware of. There are priests who have shared with other members here that the host was at times bled while they were saying Mass. They got nervous, wasn't sure what to do, and they just consumed the host. But the first host that we know was shortly after Bishop Flanagan celebrated First Communion here in Audrey's house and gave them permission to hold the host. When they went in to give a piece of the host to Audrey for communion while they were watching Mass in one of the following days, they noticed that the host had discolored, and they called, the local pastor, who was a canon lawyer, and he called the bishop, who came down and verified that the host actually had a stain that appeared to be blood. They gave permission actually to do DNA testing on that. They determined that it is human blood. Over the course of time, within the next 15 years to 20 years, there were at least seven hosts that at various points had also bled. spontaneously. One of them, as you mentioned, when John was here filming a documentary, they were actually filming the mass when the priest held up the host and the blood appeared while he was holding up for Behold the Lamb of God at the communion. And they actually have recorded that on film. So Father Ubald, his host also was tested, and it was determined that that it is human blood. The a remarkable thing as well with his host is that it has continued to weep oil since it was consecrated. And so that oil, as you mentioned, some of the religious articles in Audrey's room over time have continued to weep in oil. There's the different images of the saints, Our Lady, Our Lord. Some have wept, some have cried blood, others weep oil. But Father Ubald's host also weeps in oil that continues to regenerate. We do use that. We had Mass today. Yesterday was Audrey's anniversary, so we had Mass today in the back yard, and we had about maybe 30 people, and we use that oil to anoint people for whatever their particular need is in coming here to Audrey's house. Here it is, it's years later, and it still continues to weep oil and to regenerate. It's remarkable. And one day I had it in a glass dish. We were in the chapel, and I looked, and there was just a little bit of oil at the bottom, and I went, oh, I don't think I'm going to make it to everybody. I said, well, we'll do what we do, and I went around, and when I got to the end, one of the people sitting in the front row said, look at that. It's grown. And I said to them, I said, you notice, she said, Father, I didn't think you were going to have enough oil to anoint everybody. She said, and after you've anointed everybody in the chapel, there's more oil in the dish than there was when you started. I said, and you notice, I've only held it in my hand, and I've used it to anoint everybody in this room. This is a gift of God. It happened right in front of everybody. People saw that while I held the dish in my hand and anointed 25 people in the chapel.
I really think God wanted you on the air today. And the reason I say that is, you know, I wanted to have a little bit more of a Eucharistic theme in the show. And I thought, oh, you know, I'll talk to you about the Eucharist. I know that there's been six or seven of those Eucharistic miracles here. I've known the people that they've occurred to. I had no idea it was the anniversary of Audrey's passing. And I just, I think that is a God incident, that God was at work during this process and wants people to know about little Audrey, wants to use her as an intercessor. So please share, Father, with those who are listening, some of the miracles that have taken place to those who called upon her intercession, and maybe share if there's a prayer that people can pray, and if they do get the miracles, what they do to help advance her cause.
Certainly. Audrey is a very powerful intercessor. She was when during her life here. There are several instances that are recorded. What has been explained to me theologically is she was given infused knowledge. And so the notes of her nurses will detail that in the year 2011, at the end of August, 2001, excuse me, at the end of August, she started to weep inconsolably. They tried everything, and she wept for 3 weeks. There was nothing they could do as far as medication, treatment, her oxygen levels, her feeding tube. Nothing stopped her from weeping until 9/11 in 2001, when the towers collapsed. She stopped crying.
Wow.
So they believe she was given an infused knowledge, and our belief is that her suffering in anticipation of that may have been able to mitigate some of the impending disaster. Some people came with cancer, other illnesses that they needed. One day, the nurses changed, and one nurse came out to the other and said, why didn't you tell me about that thing on her jaw? So what are you talking about? I just left her. She was fine. They both came back in, and the first nurse said to the second nurse, that wasn't here when I left. And on her jaw, there was this grotesque, seemingly a tumor underneath her skin. And the following day, the doorbell rang while they were taking care of Audrey, and they came running back in and said, you have to come to the window. You have to come to the door because you're not going to believe it. But what's on Audrey's jaw, this man has it on his jaw. And so he came in and visited with Audrey, and when he left, it was gone from Audrey. So there's another instance where she presented a medical condition of a feminine problem before that she would have been at the age for that. And so they took her to the hospital because it didn't make sense. And they took an X-ray, and the doctor came in and he threw the X-ray at them and said, just take her home. Wow. And they said, well, you know, he was angry. And they put the X-ray up on the light, and where there should have been a tumor that was causing this particular issue, if you step back the right distance, you see the image of a white angel on the X-ray.
That's amazing.
Where there would have been a tumor. So there are those types of things. I've had people share with me in my time here that they, you know, they write to us. We're allowed to, we don't take any money. The oil is given to us from God. We don't take any donation for that. We ask people to send a self-addressed stamped envelope. We send them a cotton ball with some of the oil and a little ritual that has been written to be able to use that. Not everybody gets necessarily their wish. I have one man who shared with me, again, he's a film producer. He brought it home for his sister, wanted her to have breast cancer. He anointed her with the oil, and 2 weeks later, she was dead. Wow. And 2 weeks after that, his sister, some other family member was diagnosed with cancer. He used the oil on her, and 3 weeks later, she was cured.
Wow.
So, you know, I've people who tell me, one woman who was here in Audrey's room tells the story that her husband had gone to several doctors for several different testing, close to 3 years, and they were all, both she and her husband were frustrated at their wit's end. They brought him to psychologists, psychiatrists. Nobody could find the medical cause. They thought it was maybe, you know, psychosomatic, or he was having some mental concerns. So they were sitting in the emergency room one day because she just was in discomfort. And she reached in and she saw the little cotton ball of oil, and she clenched it in her fist and she said, Audrey, I'm praying to you. I just want a diagnosis for my husband. I don't want a cure. I want a diagnosis. She said, and as she said that, the door opened, the doctor came in and he said, I finally figured it out.
Wow.
And he exactly diagnosed the problem with her husband.
You know what I did, Father?
So healing comes in all types of shapes and forms.
I love it. I asked, you know, I never thought of it, but today I'm asking little Audrey for a favor. I'm going to see what she can come through for. And again, like you pointed out, those two examples, God's will always with our prayer. We want what God wants. If people want to get the prayer for her cause, they want to be introduced, they want to learn a little bit more, I'm assuming just go to littleaudreysantofoundation.com, or how do they best get a hold of you?
No, you're right. It's at littleaudreysantofoundation.com. It's all one word. Nothing is capitalized. And there's the address is 64 South Flag Street. Mm-hmm. South Flag is important. So it's an S Flag Street in Worcester, Massachusetts. And you know, you can be able to, go online. We have, the prayers are there. We've asked, Padre Pio and Saint Charbel, to be important patrons to help us as well, in Audrey's cause. We believe that St. Charbel is actually a relative of Audrey.
Really?
Her grandfather.
Oh,
yeah, her grandfather and St. Charbel are from the same town in Lebanon. And Audrey's mother's maiden name was Nader, which means in Arabic to anoint with oil.
I love it. My gosh, the oil that came from the tomb of St. Charbel is amazing. Right. Well, Father, look, I'll have you back. We can talk about this in much greater detail. I've got a little bit of an amended schedule here.
Sure.
But again, littleaudreysantofoundation.com,
littleaudreysantofoundation.com.
You guys have to shorten that up. Yeah, make it a little bit shorter. It'd be great. But we'll get everybody plugged in. And I'll tell you what, Maggie, can you put a link up maybe on our Facebook page and our social media? We'll put it on our social media for anyone who's in traffic and doesn't have a pen or doesn't remember it, Father. And they can get connected to you there. And when I get back to Massachusetts, I want to stop and visit the tomb of Father Seraph Michalenko. I'm going to stop by your place, too, and say hello to both you and to Linda. So my best regards to Linda, okay?
I promise I will. Thank you. Thanks for having me on.
God bless you, Father. Keep up the great work. That's Father Peter Joyce, responsible for the liaison for the diocese there, and the cause of Audrey's an amazing one. Father Rene Laurentin, who's one of the world's most renowned theologians and Mariologist, he went there and he said it was holy ground. And Father Laurentin, I met when I was in Africa working on another documentary, and he was with me on several locations around the planet. The insight and his sense of what was happening is profound. But call upon the venerables. Call upon the servants of God. Call upon the blesseds. They need those miracles quite often to advance their causes. And I'm telling you what, they're going to work in a powerful way, and miracles will unfold. And make sure you report those miracles when they do happen. All right? Well, we'll call upon Audrey as well. Just walking into my studio now is our chief financial officer, Preston Alex. And Preston, I don't know if you caught some of the conversation, but Father Peter Joyce, he hails from Massachusetts. We were talking about the story of little Audrey. One of our former colleagues here at this network, who's now a Catholic priest, John Clote, when he was a documentary filmmaker, captured a Eucharistic miracle. They actually caught a host bleed. Father Ubald, who's been on this program, had a Eucharistic miracle. There's been a bishop. There's seven different accounts. And I think God often makes very visible the invisible to us, because He wants us to understand He is truly present, body and blood, soul and divinity, truly and substantially present in the Eucharist. And it's these events that God does to draw our attention. And back to what you and I were talking about a little bit earlier, for those who might have missed, I got to credit our nation's bishops. This is the solution to the problems in our family and in our life and in our country and in the world. We need Jesus Christ. Yeah. And there's a powerful Eucharistic gathering taking place in just a couple weeks, if you think about it, July.
It's not that long away. It's
we pull everybody in who may not be known.
Less than 100 days away. We got July 17th, the National Eucharistic Congress happening. So what that tells you is that most of the bishops in this country, so many priests that I know, most of the priests that I personally know are going, and tens of thousands of Catholics are going to go to Indianapolis to worship God in a way that just hasn't happened in this country in decades. Yeah. So Eucharistic Congress is sanctioned by the bishops. It's more than just a conference, but there's definitely some amazing conference elements. It's a special gathering centered on the Eucharist where you encounter our Lord in a profound, unique way. The biggest part of that is that those graces are going to be outpouring there. If there was ever going to be a Eucharistic miracle in the next year, I think it's going to happen there. But that's a side note for what we just said. How cool would that be? But regardless of if
would that not be a game changer, amazing? Though? I mean, not that it's going to happen, but could you imagine that?
That would be so cool.
Oh, my gosh. That would be
a moment to witness. You know, God works in His own time and in His own ways, but no matter what, we know for sure He's promised graces will come forth through the worship of His Son. And so we know that anybody that goes there, anybody that signs up to go to the National Eucharistic Congress is going to have a life-changing event.
Yeah,
okay. I know that for sure. Without a doubt, if you go to this event, you will get on fire with the faith. If you have loved ones that have fallen away, they will get on fire. This is the moment. We have not had a gathering like this in 50 years. This is the moment in this country for people to get on fire with their faith. And I want you personally to sign up. And Drew, we've made it easier for people.
Yeah. Relevantradio.com is all you need to do. It's right on our landing page, relevantradio.com/indie.
Yep.
You can jot that down, our mobile app as well. Got this email from a listener. His name's Chuck. Chuck in Chesterton, Indiana. I hope you're still listening. Thanks for writing. I bought my ticket for the Catholic Conference. I got them through the discount person your station mentioned. So they heard your response. They called. I forgot to ask to sit in the station block. Can I still sit with you? So how does it work?
Yeah.
You know, when somebody registers with the Relevant Radio block, what does that mean? He's kind of asking. He says, I asked for handicap access. Apparently he has that. He says, I hope they'll let me sit with Relevant Radio. Well, of course. We're all going to be in the same hotel block. So we'll be in the same, you know.
Yeah, it depends. We have different options available. We have limited seats in the block in the stadiums, but there's some reserved seats, that some premium seating for the Relevant Radio travelers that are traveling with our family.
That's cool.
So it'll be reserved. You don't have to worry about stressing about getting into the stadium early to get your seat. It will be reserved.
That's awesome.
That is an option available on there. That's depending on what package you get. That's more limited. Yeah. So those ones are a little bit more expensive. But for anybody that just wants general admission, we have discounted tickets for that as well. And then we have the ability to handle all the accommodations for travel. We have shuttles and things like that if you travel with us. Just to make things easier for you. Yeah. If you just need a ticket, we'll still give you the best deal in town. If not, you know, find a parish, find a diocese. This is not something that people can miss out on.
Yeah. You know, and here's the thing. I mean, Relevant was all over this. When we first heard about the Eucharistic Congress, I was super pumped. I heard about it when it broke, right? When it was being developed. And I thought, oh, this is going to be so huge on so many levels, particularly the grace that's going to come. Mm-hmm. And I know Relevant says, look, we want to be there and we want to help spread it. That's what Relevant Radio's done. I mean, if you listen to Father's Eucharistic videos, if you listen to our messaging over the air here.
Those videos have had millions of views, Drew. I mean, millions of people are finding out more and more about the Eucharist and more about this Congress through Relevant Radio. We're the presenting sponsor, which means we're giving more to this Congress than any other media organization or Catholic organization in the world. We care about the Eucharist. We put our money where the mouth is, if you what you say. So, you know, this is the most important event in this country in years, and we want everybody to be there.
I hope you can come. RelevantRadio.com/Indy or just RelevantRadio.com is probably the way to go. But, you know, come, as Preston said, there'll be grace. It's going to be life-changing. I really think it is. You get to meet Father Rocky.
Yeah, all our show hosts
Patrick
are going to be there.
And all the show hosts, Carol Timmery.
Yeah, we're going to have a great... If you have signed up, make sure to sign up for the special breakout session on Friday from 2 to 4 p.m. where Drew and Patrick and Father are presenting a special presentation. There'll be prayer and teaching and just an incredible time.
I know you were with me probably an hour one of my 3-hour show. So audience often changes. People are getting out of work right now. Maybe they're picking up their kids. Maybe they're running an errand. Just so people know, they're saying, well, I'll just book a hotel. You know, I'll go. And that's great. If you can do that, look, just come to the event. That's our first message to you. Mm-hmm. We have about 70 seats or less or 70 rooms or less right now. The reason we're saying to maybe block out your room with us is because we're on the grounds. We're right there. There's a bridge that brings you.
We're right downtown. We're right within walking distance of the Congress. It will make things so much easier.
There'll be processions, right? There's going to be Eucharistic adoration. Procession. There's going to be breakout talks. You're going to be right there. If you don't book, and here's the unfortunate part. I'm just telling you, you can do whatever you want. You know, I'm just, I want to really just be honest with you. There's a couple other events going on in Indianapolis that weekend, and that means that you're probably going to have to drive 30 to 60 minutes to get it in, find parking every day. Having a room outside is kind of a blessing.
Yeah, the largest NASCAR event is going to be happening that same weekend. There's a WNBA game.
Timing couldn't be worse.
I know. I think it's really a spiritual
dimension.
I hope that, but I think Satan wants to make this event hard for people.
Yeah.
I think that's like, because the bishops announced first, and then all of a sudden, you know, 6 months later, the NASCAR event is being touted as this is the weekend. And I just don't understand why that and how that could even happen, with the exception of maybe Satan and diabolical. Yeah. You know, we need to stand up against that. You know, God is stronger than that, you know, but only to the degree that we accept his will and we fight for his will. So,
well, if we didn't have spiritual opposition to these things, I'd be a little concerned about what's going down.
Yeah, there you go. That's a good way of looking at it.
Throughout my entire life in doing what I do, broadcasting, writing, producing, whatever, if it was a work that was going to be incredibly powerful, bear good fruit, and bring Christ to others, Satan was right there in the shadows trying to create division and thwart it. So I'm sure, and you as the chief financial officer and whose kind of fingers on the pulse of everything that's going on here with the network and things like that, I am sure you have seen the problems that came with this Eucharistic Congress. You might have said to yourself at one point, oh, I wish we didn't have anything to do with it, right?
No, I never said that because I care about our Lord and making this message known. But I when I saw that the NASCAR event, I was like, there's obviously some opposition, some spiritual opposition to this event. And that just makes me more excited about what we're doing and even more important that we show up. We need to show up to make this a success. We can't just like rest on the laurels. So if you personally are thinking about going, you have to sign up today because we, you just have to sign up. We have to get people there, and time's running out.
Yeah. There's an indulgence, plenary indulgence that's been granted to all participants as well.
Yeah.
So we hope you can make it there. And again, you can go to relevantradio.com. Is this really your last chance? I
suspect if you want to travel with our hotel block and things like that, we have so few rooms available right now. I would say, you know, within the next week, we'll be sold out of the hotel book. I based on our numbers right now.
Yeah, you could do your due diligence. I know I had a friend who was looking too. So they couldn't find, they really could not find the rooms that they wanted. So they were thinking, oh. But look, hang out with all of us, be part of us, join the breakout session. There'll be adoration and processions. There's going to be wonderful speakers there, some of the best in the nation gathering together.
Yeah, that's actually a point. Another reason why people need to sign up now, too. So it's first come, first serve on the breakout sessions. Those do sell out. Those rooms only have a certain capacity, and you do have to pre-register for those breakout sessions. So if you want to see Drew Mariani and Patrick Madrid and Father Rocky light up the stage, go sign up today. If you want to see any of these other phenomenal speakers, there are some phenomenal speakers that are going to be there, from Monsignor Shea to many different bishops to just the powerful messages. They're going to have great speakers, great musicians, and you got to sign up if you don't want to miss out on the things you really want to see when you're there.
Well, thanks for what you're doing, for fielding some of the arrows.
Yeah, no problem. But, I love it.
You know, that's a good sign. RelevantRadio.com, the place to go. Father Rocky is going to be joining me when I return. Stay with us. Millions of people viewed his Eucharistic videos. We'll talk about that and really the fact that he was quite a visionary. He saw the power of this Congress and what it meant spiritually for the faithful of this country. He'll be in studio to talk about that and more right after this.
I think for many people, what we believe about the Eucharist is so remarkable. I mean, to say that this piece of bread, that this chalice filled with wine literally becomes God. It takes an enormous amount of faith to say that, because the Eucharist still tastes like bread and wine, still looks like bread and wine. I mean, if an atheist came in right before communion and saw us saying, "Yo, Lord, I'm not worthy," he'd say, "These people are crazy. They're talking to a piece of bread."
It's the Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
Sponsor of the University of Dallas, the Catholic University for Independent Thinkers, invites high school juniors, seniors, and recent graduates to study the great books this summer at UD's two-week-long Arete program while earning 3 hours of college credit. Info at relevantradio.com/UDallas.
You've heard it said before, Christ truly present. Hi, everyone. This is Father Rocky with some good news to tell you about a new video series coming from Relevant Radio just for you. It's called Eucharistic Encounters, stories about the transformative power of showing up for Jesus. I'm so happy I can share these stories with you. Many of them I've experienced personally, others I've learned along the way in my 30 years of priesthood.
The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
I don't know if you've checked these out or not, but you should. I hope you have. You can always sign up for him at Relevant Radio. That was our chief executive officer here, Father Rocky, and he's in studio with me. You know him also probably better as the priest who leads the Family Rosary across America, the host of that program. And Father, it's great to have you in studio with me. Welcome.
You know, I kind of think Maggie leads it.
No, I think, you know, people say, chief executive officer, chairman, whatever. And people know you as the guy with the rosary. He's the priest who leads the rosary.
It's a great tag team. But glad we could do that. Maggie does a great job helping you out as well with the chaplet of Divine Mercy. You know, it's an amazing thing, Drew. We're in the entertainment business because we're in media, right?
Yeah, absolutely. But
we use this space to evangelize, and what really resonates with other people is live interactive prayer, because it brings a common denominator there to everyone of humanity. So when you're praying together, all sort of divides just kind of fade away, right? Age and ethnicity and even political persuasion, because cancer and bad health hits everyone,
That's true.
Poverty and misfortune hits everyone. And so it's the human condition. We bring them together. We turn to the merciful heart of Christ, because Jesus said, "Ask and you shall receive, seek and you will find, knock and it will be open to you." So we're very blessed here at Relevant Radio, what we can do. And I love the studio, because just, you know, 10 feet away on the other side of the wall is the Blessed Sacrament. That makes all the difference for what we're doing with our audience.
I often say when I'm on the air, during the chapel or whatever, I'll say, hey, I'll stop over and make a visit to the Blessed Sacrament. I don't have to leave, get in my car, and drive
anywhere. It's great.
On my way out, I can walk right in there and say,
exactly,
hey, Lord,
where we have it.
I got a few intentions for you here.
Yep.
And can intercede. It's awesome.
And I'm able to stop in the chapel several times during the day. That's why it's there.
I see you praying your rosary in the corridor, walking up and down and doing that whole thing. Hey, we got a big... first of all, congratulations on the Eucharistic videos. Preston and I were just talking, millions of views on those.
Yeah, millions and millions of views.
And those stories are good. I have a background in media, in production and television. And I got to say, I was really impressed by how well and how beautifully they were done.
Yeah, credit to the team of, we call them the 3Ds, Dennis, Dan, and Damien, but also the 2Js, that's John and Jake, but also Beth Groshek and Colleen Shana and Emily Sturgeon, Rich Bojanski. There's a lot of people working on that and make it come to reality. I tell the people, look, I'm a priest. I was ordained to preach and to teach. I have lots of things I like to talk about, but you guys have to do the technical things. So we film those in a variety of locations in our chapel in Green Bay. We've filmed three or four recently, maybe five or six here in our new chapel here
beautiful.
In Lincolnshire.
Oh my gosh,
we filmed them at the Cathedral of St. Francis Xavier in Green Bay, which was recently restored and beautified by Bishop Rick. And we filmed them down at St. Mary of the Angels. We have a lot of beautiful Catholic churches in the Midwest. In Marytown, right? And our videographers, they just do marvelous work with the video that brings out the beauty of it. Now, we're a radio company, but, you know, the world's changing quickly, and we do more and more video. Do you know last year we produced 1,000 videos?
No way.
Yeah, between the chaplet every day, the rosary every day, the mass every day, and then the Lenten's on the mass, and then these Eucharist encounters. And they're short. They're to the point. And I was able to, tell 33 different stories.
Great stories.
You know, it comes from my 33 years of the priesthood. Yeah. You know, if you're paying attention, these things happen, and we want to share that. And that's why I was really... moved when the bishops of this country decided to have a national Eucharistic Congress. I guess this hasn't happened in 80 years. Mm-hmm. I've never been to one before, but I thought, well, this is about the Holy Eucharist, which is really key and essential to the Catholic faith because the Holy Eucharist is Jesus, and our religion is about a person. I said, well, goodness gracious, let's just all show up for Jesus. They said, what do you mean by that? Well, the first Good Friday in Jerusalem, they all showed up for Barabbas. And so when Pilate gave him the choice, who do you want, Jesus or Barabbas, they all started cheering for Barabbas and going nuts. Nobody showed up for Jesus. And I said, you know, things would have been different 2,000 years ago if Drew Mariani had had a show on at Jerusalem. Because the day before he said, hey, everyone, let's go down to the plaza. And on the count of three, when Pilate gives the call, we'll all shout for Jesus, right? So I said, that's what the Eucharistic Congress is about. I said, I can give you all sorts of reasons not to go. It's too far, it's too hot, you know, too expensive. I say, I give you only one compelling reason to go, and that's let's all show up for Jesus. Now, to be fair, not everybody can make it, you know, but you can pray for it and somehow participate in it or promote it, right? And whether one person comes or 80,000 people come, the only thing important to me is that I'll come, right? Mm-hmm. I'll come. I remember that was... And this is one of my Eucharistic encounter stories. I never forget it. When St. John Paul II was elected Pope in 1978, so I was a sophomore in college, he took the world by storm. He was young, he was athletic, he was confident, he was handsome. And the church was in an identity crisis after Vatican II. All these nuns and priests abandoning their vocation, a chaos, and I would say lack of confidence. And that also reflected in the culture at the time. That was the time of the Iranian hostage crisis, remember? And we had sort of bailed on the Vietnam War, and America had lost sort of its confidence. Mm-hmm. And so this guy stepped onto the stage of the world, and amazingly, he could speak English. And early on in his pontificate, maybe the first month, he told the cardinals there in Rome, hey, I've got an idea. Let's do a Corpus Christi procession in the streets of Rome next year on Corpus Christi Thursday. Crickets, silence. And then they kind of tried to convince him that's a bad idea. I said, Holy Father, that hasn't been done in Rome in over 100 years. And the streets here, they're a mess. The traffic's a chaos. And the city's dirty. He said, no, I understand that, but let's do it anyway. And they finally tried to convince him, look, Your Holiness, this is 1978. Nobody's going to come. He said, well, I'll come.
Wow.
It doesn't matter if nobody else. He says, wow. I'll come. And so that first year when they had the Corpus Christi procession in Rome from St. John Lateran to Santa Maria Maggiore, not too many people came. You know, it was an underwhelming crowd.
Yeah.
And there was chaos and all that. But he did it the next year. He did the year after that, the year after that. Finally, by 1992, I was there for that Corpus Christi procession. I had just been ordained as a priest. And there were tens of thousands of people. All the cardinals, all the bishops, all the priests. And little boys and girls who made the First Holy Communion that year, they led the way. You know, little girls dressed up like European royalty in their lace white gowns, and the boys in their white tuxedos and wearing their white Reeboks. You know that. You're an Italian from Philly, right? Absolutely. You can imagine it. With these little wicker baskets with the rose petals and all of that. People hanging out of the windows, singing to Jesus. And it was really, really amazing. And he kind of reclaimed that sense of reverence and awe and pageantry for the Holy Eucharist. Yeah. And it was a great time for me to be in Rome. That was between 88 and 92. I was very lucky. I was ordained to the priesthood by a Polish bishop living in Rome. You know who that was. It was St. John Paul II.
Sure,
absolutely. And we went to those Corpus Christi processions and the rest. And then Benedict XVI carried on that sort of renewal of reverence for the Holy Eucharist, because everything in the church depends on. One day, somebody will fund a major study on the correlation between abortion in the world and reverence for the Holy Eucharist, because they're both connected, right? Because the unborn baby does not appear to be what he or she really is. And the unborn baby is defenseless. Well, guess what? The Holy Eucharist does not appear to be what he really is. And the Holy Eucharist is defenseless. And I pose this thought that when you reverence for the Holy Eucharist, when you diminish centrality of the Holy Eucharist in your architecture, in your liturgy, in your behavior, and in your life, it has really negative repercussions on human culture, on marriage, on life, all the rest. And I think there's always been a correlation to that, right? And it goes back to 1964, 1963 with the Second Vatican Council. Maybe it's associated with, you know, ending, you know, quarters and dimes that were all silver and now they're silver and copper. I don't know. You know, it's an interesting question, but I do know that where you have that real reverence for Jesus and the Holy Eucharist, spend time with him, you have a flourishing of apostolic activity. That's where the missionaries of charity, Mother Teresa, they get all their power. And that's tough work they do. Homeless people? You kidding me? Refugees, immigrants, mentally ill people? That's really, really hard work. And the nuns are on their knees in front of the Holy Eucharist 3 hours a day. The Sisters of Life, same thing. You'll never find a more joyful group of young ladies who are very talented and smart, doing very, very difficult work. Well, they get their strength from the Holy Eucharist, right? You find that.
Yeah.
Padre Pio had that same drive. Yeah, St. Jose Maria had that, just like and that's what always got my attention, Opus Dei. Oh, wow, they take the Eucharist pretty seriously.
Well, let's talk more about that. Let's take a quick break. When we come back, in one of your Eucharistic videos, you told such a great story about the Sisters of Charity and how important the Eucharist actually truly was to their work, you know, how they prioritized things. And maybe you can share that with everyone. I think they'll be inspired by that. But before we go to break, I just want to remind everybody, Relevant has made available to you, and it's really a gift to you, a block of rooms for this National Eucharistic Congress. And I believe there's going to be extraordinary grace there. I believe if you come, you're going to receive those graces. You're going to be inspired. Bring your loved one. Bring somebody who's lukewarm in the faith. I guarantee you they will leave on fire. If you go to relevantradio.com, just go to the homepage or the mobile app. It's front and center today. You can get more information on that. But we started this morning with 90 rooms. I don't know what the latest number is. I would say you probably not many left. But this is a rare opportunity because if you don't get in now, you're going to have to travel 30, maybe 60 minutes to get in, park. If you're with the Relevant Radio block, you're right there. You're right there with all of us. It'll be great. Father Rocky and Patrick and I and all of our colleagues are going to be there. There's a special presentation. Sign up for that, too, because
we're all
once
in.
That sells out, we're done.
We're all in. Well, let's just show up for Jesus.
Let's do it. A quick break. We'll come back, and we will talk more. Stay with us.
The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio. Connect with Drew on the Relevant Radio app.
Prayerfully consider a career where you can blend your faith and profession. Catholic Order of Foresters, our sponsor, is hiring agents in your market now. Go to relevantradio.com/forester. That's relevantradio.com/forester. An Illinois Life Insurance Society, not licensed in all states.
On our life's journey, as we seek purpose and connection, we are called. Called to place our faith and trust in something greater than our own understanding. We are called by someone who already loves us and offers himself to us, Jesus Christ. His body, given daily. His blood, poured out for us. We never journey alone in life. Through the Eucharist, we encounter his real presence and others who share our faith. Together, we become one with him in his very flesh. And when we bring his presence out into the world, we can be light for others. This is the gospel call. To make disciples of all nations, laying down our lives for others.
The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
Well, thanks for joining me. If you're just tuning in, I'm here with Father Rocky. It was some audio you might have heard from a video done for the National Eucharistic Congress. Look, now is the time for Eucharistic revival. And if you want to check out some really beautiful, very inspiring videos, check out Father Rocky's videos on the Eucharist. There's a couple of them that I absolutely love, and I misattributed to the Sisters of Charity. It was actually the Sisters of Sacred Heart Sisters in France. Father Rocky told a story about them. I guess it was right after the French Revolution. But I loved it because this is really what it's all about. Father, you got to share the story because sure. It touched me. I loved it.
Yeah, no, it's very, very impactful. So the French Revolution was a very horrible chapter in the history of the church and history of humanity, and where there's lessons from it because there was a tremendous amount of injustice. Churches were burned, priests were killed, nuns were killed, people were hunted down, the guillotine, all that, right? Yeah. And it was part of the Enlightenment. Mm-hmm. And after that, in France, they actually changed the week from 7 days to 10 days. Did you know that?
I did not, no.
Oh, yeah. And when I told my sophomores in high school that years ago, they immediately said, well, that's rotten, because they knew you'd have to wait a lot longer for a weekend, right?
That's so true.
So the whole thing collapsed. They got rid of saints' days and feast days and Christmas and all that, guys. You know, it's just all secularism, and it just didn't resonate with the people at all. Anyway, a lot of the churches were closed down. Church property is expropriated and all that. But at least the governors in a power at that time recognized the civic value of the Catholic hospitals, right? Catholic nuns and priests running hospitals. So they let them continue with their hospitals. So one day, the government inspector showed up to this hospital in Paris. I think it was the church, the Hospital of the Sacred Heart. And the Mother Superior met them at the door and said, Mother, we're here for the annual inspection of the hospital. And she said, please come right in. Our inspection today begins in the chapel. And the two government officials said, that won't be necessary. We'll just go right into the ward. She said, no, the inspection begins in the chapel. Well, they knew they weren't going to win that argument. So they were respectful. She brought them in, opened the door, and they saw two nuns in full habit kneeling on kneelers in front of the Most Blessed Sacrament. They were quiet. They were respectful. But clearly, they were a little bit uncomfortable with that. Sister made a genuflection, bowed her head. They left. They closed the door. And on went with the inspection to the maternity ward and the pediatric ward. And finally, they came to the tuberculosis ward. Mm. In the 1800s, the word tuberculosis put more fear in you than anything else because it was incurable. It was contagious. It was fatal. And as she brought him into the tuberculosis ward, these government inspectors saw the horror, smelled the stench. Mm. They couldn't take it. They said, oh, we've seen enough. Let's go. So they walked out. She closed the door. And one of the government inspectors said, Sister, I just can't believe anyone can do that. Take care of them. She said, that's why we had to start in the chapel. Because if it weren't for the presence of Jesus in the Holy Eucharist, no one could do this. Yeah. That's the explanation, right? So that's the strength. That's the source of real charity and humanity in the church is the presence of Jesus in the Holy Eucharist. And the more we honor him and the more we venerate him, the more grace he gives us to be able to do other things. That's where you get your strength. That's where you get power.
Yeah, and that's why he's present in the center of this building every day, too.
Absolutely.
That's really where our power comes
right?
from.
If you want your marriage to last, go to Mass every right. Sunday, right? And if you go more frequently, that's even better, yeah. really. You know, one of the first stories I told, it's one of my favorites, it happened years ago when I was chaplain at Northridge Prep, and one of the dads came to me one day and he said, "Father, I've got a dilemma. Could you help me with my dilemma?" I said, "Sure, I'm all ears. What's going on?" He said, "Well, I take the family up to Canada every summer for a skiing trip or for a fishing trip, and we fly into this remote lake. And this year, we're going to be gone for 10 days. Well, I immediately knew what the problem was. If you're up there in the middle of nowhere for 10 days, one of those days has to be a Sunday. So what are you going to do for Sunday Mass? And I'm beginning to think, wow, maybe he's going to invite me to go on that plane. I've never been on a plane. We're going to go fishing up there. It'll be awesome." And he continues to explain his situation, that they're going to be gone. They're not going to be there for Sunday Mass. And I realized he was not going to invite me. So I said, "Well, look, I've got a real simple solution for you. I mean, I'm not your parish priest, so I can't give you a dispensation. If I were your parish priest, I could. But this is what you do. On Sunday, just fly out for Sunday Mass." He said, "Fly out for Sunday Mass? Do you know how much that's going to cost me?" I said, "I do. It's going to cost you as much as it costs you to fly in." Right. And besides, nobody's twisting your arm saying you have to go fishing for 10 days. So it's up to you. So he got really quiet and very thoughtful. Well, guess what? They flew out for Sunday Mass.
Wow.
They chartered a flight to fly out for Sunday Mass. And the people ran the fishing lodge, when they heard they were flying out for Sunday Mass, said, "Is there any extra room in your plane? We never get to go to Mass on Sunday."
That's great.
That would be so awesome. All right, now flash forward 25, 30 years. All of his children are practicing the faith.
Wow.
They're all married to other Catholics. And all the grandchildren are baptized.
Wow.
Because he was making memories there of how important Sunday Mass was.
Best investment he ever made.
I think so. Every you know, sometimes time. We wonder, well, why don't the children practice? Well, you never said grace before meals at home. You never had a crucifix at home. Never prayed the rosary. You went to Mass when it was convenient. You got to set the example from a young age, right?
Let's do this, Father. I have maybe 5 minutes or so. Some people want to talk to you. They've got a question or two. If
Great.
You want to join us, the number's 888-914-9149. If you want to talk to Father, if you've got a question or a comment, you have to dial in right now. As I said, the window is closing, but we'll go to Lansdale, Pennsylvania first. Julie is listening to us there. Hi, Julie. You're on the air with Father Rocky.
Hi, Julie.
Yeah. Hi, Father. I hear what you're saying, and I agree with everything I'm hearing. However, I have been looking for years, literally years, 20, 30 years, to find a church in my area where after Mass is over on Sunday, the place doesn't turn into a football stadium after a game.
Oh, sure.
Yep. The priests are not preaching. I spent 17 years in the convent. I've been a Catholic since I was a baby. I'm very, very much into my faith. But it has been literally years since I have heard a priest give a good, meaty, inspirational, and instructional homily.
And that's why you listen to relevant radio. We give it to you every day like this. So if I were in that situation, I know how Americans are. We're like, okay, what's the next thing? What's the next thing? In fact, we build our churches so that the parking lot has easy escape, right? You get out there quick. Not like that in South Africa or in Uganda. They show up for Mass and it's two and a half hours. Now, there's some dancing going on and singing and clapping, but it's a real event. So I suppose if I were the pastor of that parish and I wanted to give people a little space to pray, before I would give the final blessing, I said, "Now let's all sit down for 3 minutes and make an act of thanksgiving." And I'd probably do this. I said, "Pull out your relevant radio app."
Brilliant.
And they got a great section in there for prayers after Mass. Give me 3 minutes of silence, and you can change that parish. God bless you. Thanks for calling in from Pennsylvania.
Thanks, Julie. Divine Mercy Sunday, I actually was thinking, I really want to make a good confession. So I was super long line. I opened the relevant radio app, went to the area for the confession, went through every commandment. I'm thinking, oh my gosh, am I bad, right?
Yeah. Oh man, me too,
I
right?
done that. But what a great app that is. I hope people will download it. Father, we only have a couple minutes left. If you want to just make a mention about the National Eucharistic Congress,
sure.
I know we have limited spaces left and there's a really limited time for people to get on board with that.
Right. Well, let's pray for this, right? Because what we want to do is somehow be an instrument of God's grace so people can discover or rediscover the real presence of Jesus Christ in the Holy Eucharist, who's what everyone is hungering for. And he is the only one who'll never let you down. And he has the solution to all of our problems. He made us. We're moving towards him. And we're not alone. Amen. Right? That's what we want people to discover. Because when you don't live with God, for many people, their life gets so complicated. You know, so complicated. It doesn't have to be that complicated. Ask and you shall receive, Jesus said. Seek and you'll find. Knock and it will be opened to you. So working together, we want to get that good message out there, share that with other, you know, the personal testimony of the transformative power of the Holy Eucharist, and take it from there.
Well, Father, thank you for all that you do here. The Rosary is on tonight.
It is.
7 p.m.
Maggie, Central. Who's going to be the co-host tonight?
I think I will be.
Maggie Carosa.
Her favorite guest. Me, myself, and I.
Man, do we get lots of prayer attachments, right? Yeah. I think they let kids take shortcuts. We had one woman call in a couple of weeks ago, and she said, I've been waiting for weeks to get through. I said, I'm sorry, ma'am. I think they let the kids get shortcuts.
The kids are great, though. I make right? everybody smile. It's yep. just purity. Father, thank you.
Hey, happy tax day.
Yeah, make sure you hey, right? The hours are ticking.
And the thing about tax day, the more you give to Rel Radio, the less tax you have to pay.
I love that. Great strategy. Hey, I am up against the clock and out of time for the day. Thank you for allowing me to
thank
be
you,
part
Drew.
Of your afternoon. Father, thank you for all you do here. Cale Clark is coming right up until tomorrow. I promise you my prayers. Say a prayer for me and remember how much God loves you.